We started out at the beginning of this prayer asking ourselves, by what means is this beingness established within me? And the seventh answer to that, the best answer, by embracing the full presence of life. By embracing the full presence of life. Ask, how is it that the persecutor is slain, the last vestiges of mortality put to rest? How is it that life triumphs over death, over accepting that any part of its being could expel itself from the womb of its eternal conception, robbing itself of the full measure of its life? How is it that life maintains the viability of its being, holding every facet in protective custody as it redesigns the way in which it is to be? As it expands its parameters, taking the entirety of its being into ever more complex states of existence and experience, how does it maintain the unity and solidarity of all that makes up this entirety? Could it fail to protect and preserve it? Could that life, which is the life of all, sanction or allow any part of its being to withdraw from its universal presence, abdicate its right to amplify and magnify the ever-evolving states of its being? How dire the consequences if it could. How tragic if that which is conceived in the womb of life could, to whatever degree, eject itself from that womb, excluding itself from its protection, from the maximum of what life has to bring to its being. Yet is that not what we as life's expression accept as our fate? And in so accepting, do we not believe ourselves to be banished from life's benefits? Do we not believe that in disengaging, we have lost our ability to fully reflect the new, that instead of spontaneously magnifying the ever-evolving states of being, we are spiraling away from them, taking an endless free fall toward our ultimate extinction? Do we not believe ourselves to be so condemned? And in so believing, do we not yearn to re-engage the realm of our deliverance, be so present, so exalted, we relinquish our acceptance of death? Of course we do. Of course we do. It is foreordained. For that supreme life, which is the life of all, is our life. And in so being, it must embrace us within the holographic unity of its ascending existence, amplifying and magnifying the spiraling states of being by our universal presence, ubiquitous, omnipresent. It enlivens all that exists, simultaneously infusing it with a liberal outpouring of its superabundant being, giving unto it the full bounty of everlasting life, holding it at the pinnacle of its presence, at the point of full bloom throughout eternity. And no belief of severance can make it otherwise. All that exists, all that reflects life, lives within the creative matrix of its being, every aspect integrating with every other, every face of its crystalline totality interfacing with every other face, acting in unison as they express the divine individuality of being. No face has the ability to expel itself from this totality, sacrificing its life for that of another. No matter what fallacy of life it has inadvertently accepted, it cannot actually enter the grave of mortality. endlessly succumbing to the echoing patterns of its self-assassination, but lives in a state beyond their ken, a cooperative, interwoven, interdependent state of total aliveness in which it shares the bounty of its presence with one and all, and nothing can abolish or eradicate its presence. It is part and parcel of life's eternal being, giving it constant and unending expression. Ascending the scale of life's eternal being, it lends its advancing presence to the broadening horizon of existence. Thus do we, in our true estate, lend our advancing presence to this ever-expanding horizon, interweaving it with the presence of all, integrating it within the universal community of being, fulfilling our mission, our reason for being. Embedded in the matrix of being's being, re-energized with each impulsion rising from the well of life, we live in holy splendor, all as one, one as all. Life is fulfilling its purpose as us, as the allness of our holographically integrated being, creating, revealing, living in sublimity throughout eternity, holding all that exists in the infinite self-containment of its being. Life is forever presenting itself to itself, glorifying its existence, taking it on a journey of exponential magnitude as it repatterns the expression of its being, multiplying the seed of its eternal creating through the instantaneous ubiquity of its supreme omnipresence. From this lofty perch, it declares its life to be complete. From this transcendent state of being, it fulfills its destiny, leaving no part of its expression behind in the dust. All of its individual, collective, and universal being is unconditionally included, enveloped in the allness of life's coherency, all soaring, spiraling, living in the vast lofty spheres of consummate being. Thus do we all live in these spheres, blessed by their inexhaustible superabundance, by the never-ending beneficence which fills the universe of being, holding all that is us in angelic omnipresence. Oh, it's such a wonderful place, Value, because it's like there's no work here. Mm-hmm. Life just is. It just is, and our life just is. And there's never been a persecutor, ever, 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 ever. The persecutor is slain. What is the persecutor? The persecutor of believing that I could have been encoded by something other than life's intrinsic encoding. The persecutor of believing that I've ever been born into matter. The persecutor of believing that I live in a time-space continuum, a gravitational electromagnetic continuum, a local field rather than a non-local field where I have to get my information through vibration or through waves that come, be they electronic waves or radio waves or telepathic waves or any other kind of waves. The persecutor is believing that life has been fragmented, that it has been severed, that there can be a multiplicity of life, that there can be various principles of life at work. The persecutor is retrogressing instead of progressing, of being asleep to the transformations of life rather than being awake to the transformations of life. So what is the persecutor that we are all so concerned about? The persecutor that causes us to assassinate over and over and over in our consciousness is anything that would say that we have been severed from the womb of life, that we could be expelled from the womb of life, that somehow we've been born and the umbilical cord has been cut and we're out here on our own and we've been rejected by life and we're not under the umbrella of its divine protection. And so therefore the persecutor is after us at every point. No. There is no persecutor really. There is no persecutor really. None. Thereby, we don't have to be concerned about that. What we need to be concerned about is finding our true building blocks, is rediscovering the building blocks of our being. Because if the divine has created us and it has programmed us according to its own being, its own life, and we rediscover that and we respond to that encoding, the rest is non-existent. Then there is no history. The history that is the counterfeit of life as spirit is only the history of mortality. And if there is no mortality, then there's no history of mortality. And so we don't have to worry about those memory recordings and those echoes in the morphic field that we are inadvertently acting out. And we do act them out, whether we realize it or not, just as we inadvertently act out the recordings of our DNA. I mean, if we are not absolutely, totally connected with and understanding the true building blocks of our being, the 7 and the 4 and the 4, if we don't really understand the building blocks of the model of our being, we don't come out from that and understand that life is the creator and that it has created us in its image, not we creating God in our image, but that life has created us in its image. If we understand that, the persecutor is slain. You know, if we bit by bit, the sense of persecution of life falls away. And ultimately, that sense of persecution that falls away is that we've ever left the womb. I mean, that's an amazing concept for us. Because we can't, I mean, we have this visual concept of kind of sloshing around inside of a human womb. But it isn't that way. Because the womb of being, the womb of life, is boundless and free. It has to be because it's life is soul. So it's boundless and it's the continuum of everything. And we have never left there. As it energizes itself and as it shakes itself up and as it remodulates itself and as it brings forth infinite progression, which is our concrete being, it doesn't say that it has to do it outside of the womb. It does it within being itself. It does it within the matrix of being itself. It does it within that wonderful sense of love within being that includes all. And there is no outside. There is no outside. That's the whole thing. There is no other life. There's only life. Living. As our life. As all life. Life, living. That's the only life there is. So, it gives me a lot of peace. It gives me a lot of rest when I think, okay, all right. Now look. All I have to know here, and not just know in concept, but really feel the tone within me, and let that tone grow to the point that it is my consciousness, and let that consciousness grow to the point where it is my being. I have to understand on a very deep level that life eternally gives birth to that which I am, that it is eternally making me new, transforming me within its being. Within that infinite withinness, within its being. And it really handles the fear that I could mess it up, that I'm alone, that I'm isolated, that I'm working this out all by myself, that in the end this is between me and God or me and my maker or me and life. No, not really. Because in the infinite womb of being, everything that life is creating is totally integrated and totally one. And like this crystal, everything that it creates are just faces and facets and reflections of its being. And every time it creates something new in the center of its being, it instantly magnifies it throughout the entirety of its being. So that's that wonderful amplification and magnification. We are the magnifiers of life. We are the magnifiers of being. That's why Mary was able to give birth to that sense that we know as Jesus. My soul doth magnify the Lord. She caught this sense of motherhood, knowing that everything was going on within the Lord. Everything was going on within being, and that being was the father and the mother. That there wasn't a personal sense of mother there. She caught the fact that she was just a magnifier of what was going on within being. And our motherhood sense of life needs to catch that too, and understand that we're not people expressing life or living entities expressing life. We are magnifiers. Back in Life as Soul, we are resonators. Back in here in Life as Love, we are amplifiers. We are magnifiers. Because that which life creates, it's like it creates it in a kernel inside itself. Mm-hmm. It sees itself, it instantly creates the new, and then it goes, and it instantly is magnified and amplified in the totality of it, the universe of its being. And there's not a time sequence in there. Unfortunately, for me to explain it, it sounds like there's time in there, but it's an instantaneous occurrence. The minute it conceives of something new, it's instantly magnified. It's simultaneously, that's a better word, it's simultaneously magnified and amplified. So if I understand that the minute, minute is even a time sense. See, we're just so oriented in this language. Mm-hmm. But forgive the language. The instant that being is conceiving itself anew, we are new. We instantly magnify and amplify exactly that which it is. The new, we just are doing that. And you can see it. It's as if it creates it in the kernel, in the center. It centers it. And then every face reflects it. Every face has it. And as it just keeps doing new things, every face and every facet has that wonderful sense of color, that wonderful sense of form, that wonderful sense of newness. Whatever it is, we have that already. So Life as Love is a wonderful place value, because really the work is done. And you just see from a really deep place, we realize that we are embraced in the full presence of life. Not just that we need to embrace the full presence of life, but that life is fully embracing us in its presence. We are fully embraced in the womb of life, that it doesn't eject us, it doesn't reject us, it doesn't let us go. It doesn't. And we can't go backwards, thereby make a little journey into life as truth and believe that we've fallen asleep, and then go backwards into life as life and believe that we have degraded or retrograded into mortality, and then go back into life as principle, believing that there's this big fragmentation and we're a personal sense of life, and back, and then back into Life as Soul, where it seems as if there's a localized and non-resonating sense of life. Little resonance here, little resonance there, but broken, fragmented sense of resonance. a sense of spatialness, and that picks up gravity and electromagnetism, and then back again to life as spirit, time, where we're off the focal distance, and the degree that we're off the focal distance determines how long it seems to be for us to get the message. I mean, the message is right there. If we're on the focal point, we get it right away. But if we're off the focal point, it seems to take distance for it to travel from source to us. But if we got it straight in life as mind and understood that we were never falsely created, that life only programmed us correctly, then all of that is obliterated, and here we are with all of the high sense of life as mind, life as spirit, life as soul, life as life, life as whatever. You know, the order, right? Okay, the high sense of the sevenfold nature of life is occurring instantaneously and simultaneously within the womb of life. And that is where we live. And when we leave the womb of this room today, we must carry that with us and never feel abandoned by life, and always understand that we are living in the full protective custody of life. That our life is in the protective custody of the motherhood of life itself. It is in that universe. It is in the embrace. And just like this crystal that I've been holding up, the holographic facets cannot be broken apart. I mean, unfortunately, this is a physical symbol, and physical symbols have their limitations. So this physical symbol of the crystal, one could say, well, I can drop that on the ground and break it up. But in reality and being, it can't be done. It can't, there's nothing that can explode it and break it up and separate one face from another. We can never be separated from any expression of life. Never. Whether that expression seems to be in this universe or another universe, whether it seems to be in this planet or another planet, where it seems to be in this hemisphere or another hemisphere, whether it seems to be in this sense of life or another sense of life, whether it seems to be living in matter or dying out of matter, we can never be separated, never, ever, ever, from the womb of life. Carry that with you. Carry it as a presence. It will handle any sense of fear about loss of life, and any sense of fear that there's a persecutor that's out to extinguish life, whether it's my life or another life or a series of lives or whatever. And we need to be in that state of consciousness, not just for our own ascension, but for the world, for the whole world. Because as we know this, you know, resonance is a wonderful thing. And as Rupert Sheldrake brought it out, it is great. Because when one monkey learns a trick, somehow way off in Eastern Africa, the other monkey knows that trick. And so as we discover this in our consciousness, as we are consciously conscious of these seven states of life, everyone in the universe is getting it simultaneously, instantaneously. It comes in their own symbols, in their own way, in their own life, in ways that we might not even recognize. But the fact of the matter is, once it is analyzed and uncovered in consciousness, it belongs to everyone. Mm-hmm. It does. And so we very much expect to see change. And we need, I mean, we don't have to look for it. In fact, we shouldn't look for it necessarily. We should just be so present with it in our being that we accept that it's there, and then just let it evidence in whatever way it's going to. And, you know, we have no control over that. We have no idea of how it's going to look in our universe. We just know that it is having an impact. And every tiny bit of spiritual consciousness is the whole, and therefore it has the impact. And you know, it's very simple. Everything we saw today makes it very clear why this is so. If you have a cohesive field, if you have a field where here is everywhere and everywhere is here, then whatever is coming from life is coming everywhere at the same time. So if it's revealing itself to itself and it's revealing itself to me, it's revealing itself to you, it's revealing itself to everyone in terms that are familiar to you, maybe not the terms that come to me, maybe not quite the angle of it, because we all have our own unique office of it. I can't be yours and you can't be mine. And that's the beauty of it. We all have something very unique in that collective display, and we all resonate it and give it like a symphony into the whole. And that's kind of the text of life. So that is the totality of the revelation, I guess one could say, of life, as life is revealing itself to all of us and thereby allowing us to discover that which it is and recreating us in accordance with that discovery. And now we'll take a little break, and then when we come back, I'll just briefly go over some exercises that I have in here that make that very easy, and we'll go on from there, and then we'll do some flowing, and that'll be it.